Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Tunes from the tunes, tunes to California tunes.
Nice, nice.
We're
blowing ourselves to sleep.
It's a 91-minute ad where we just fall asleep in the middle of it. This episode is brought to you by OurTunes.com.
That's OurTunes!
OurTunez .com. The Z stands for Z is really good. That's not official. Oh, that's what I said.
Yeah,
I should have said Z-Best.
It's all right. I got to like kind of come on afterwards. You know, you were flying by the seat of your pants.
OurTunes streams music to your phone or your computer. They have a free iOS app, free sign up. You go to their website and it has a greater song variety than Pandora. It's a great way to discover new music,
which is really fun. And we made it into a contest.
Woo! What kind of contest?
Well, you can use promo
Promo. That's not true.
Well, asshole, you can use promo codes Jake or Amir to vote for who gets to make a custom station.
That's right. So if you go to ourtunes.com/ifiwereyou and use our promo code, either Jake or Amir, the person with the most promo code uses will get to make his own custom station. So it's basically like, who do you think has a better sense of music? Obviously, the answer is clear. It is me. And then once you put in my promo code, we'll announce who officially won next time we plug OurTunes, which is in a week from now. So if you go to OurTunes.com/ifiwereyou and check them out, it's pretty cool. They made this whole thing called the If I Were You Showdown. They made little animated pictures of Jake and I. So yeah, check them out and use our promo code. Now you have your freaking thing.
Oh, it's on me. It's on me.
You'll also get six months.
Put me on blast.
You'll get 6 months of premium membership. That's unlimited listening hours, skips, and no audio ads. So remember, whichever promo code you use the most.
Sorry, promo code. So whoever gets the most promo codes, either me or Amir, the winner is going to be able to make their own custom station.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, you can also, if you're an artist, a lot of people submit theme songs of their own. You can also sign up and upload your own music, and they pay royalties to indie artists more than any other streaming site, up to a penny per play. You can gain exposure, and that also counts for comedians. Right. Okay. So there it is. You can listen to, discover more music, upload your own music, get paid for people to listen to your art.
There's no downside.
And that's ourtunes.com with a Z.
Woo!
/ifiwereyou.
Sorry. So amateur.
Let's get.
Just the fart noise. I apologize.
Let's start the episode.
That was lowbrow.
Things get real.
Things just got real right now.
Yeah, bye.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Jake and Amir have a show, but it's not the one you probably know. They're not the awful people they pretend to be, and that one here, they're real, but it's still a lot of fun. Oh, don't get me wrong, they're still really awful people, especially Jake, but we love them still. We can't stop listening, no, we can't stop tuning in. If I were you, I'd host the podcast show.
perfect song.
Really?
I loved it. It was a ballad, it told a story, and it was funny, and it made me feel nice.
What was the genre? Because I like that song, it's but how do I listen to other songs like that?
I think it's like folksy. Pop, folksy pop.
It wasn't pop, was it?
It was pop, yeah, because it was catchy, and it was upbeat.
Okay, I want to listen to it. What's the most famous song that sounds like that? This Land Is Your Land?
Yeah, no, because that's not quite as poppy as that.
Yeah, that's just more folk. I think
that's like Simon and Garfunkel, but Simon and Garfunkel aren't quite as folksy as that. But
well, this guy's name is, he wrote this whole email accompanying his song, and I'm like, this guy's a turd, I'm not going to play his song. But then the song was so good that I'm like, oh, this guy's actually really good.
Yeah.
I'm going to read his email verbatim.
The whole thing, wow.
So he said, my name is Sheridan Woika, W-O-I-K-A. So if we use his theme song, I'd love for you to plug my band, the Sheridan Woikas. And then I clicked on the Sheridan Woikas, and it takes me to a website called Sticker Kids Kitchen. So there's a chance that the Sheridan Woikas changed their names to Sticker Kids Kitchen, which probably makes more sense because Sticker Kids Kitchen is much more fun and cool to say than the Sheridan Woikas. Either way, the song is great. Thank you, Sheridan Woika.
Well, that's how you listen to more songs like that, then. You become a stickin' kitchen band.
Yeah, but I don't want to learn new songs. I feel like I like the songs that I know.
You already know Macklemore and Rap God.
So I feel like I've already known Rap God, and so like now I'll just listen to the Rap God over and over.
Fair enough.
Yeah, like I've already listened to all the good songs.
Right.
So I just have to listen to them again.
Just, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I don't want to learn anything new.
Bad attitude.
Song-wise, I feel like I've peaked.
Oh, you know what? I think there's a song that's like, what is it? Is it now? It's like, it's late December and I should be back at school. Something like
it's like Counting Crows.
No. It's like
No, you idiot.
Oh, Maggie, I couldn't have died. Another if I could have tried. Oh fuck no! This is the most embarrassing thing I've ever done on the podcast anymore.
Oh God, you're awful. You're so bad at music.
Shit! Why? What is that song?
You want to look it up while I explain the show?
Yes.
All right, great. Hey, this is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet hosted by us. I'm Amir.
Ooh. And I'm looking up a song, but I'm Jake.
So how does it work? People email us with their difficult little questions. They need advice, and so they come to us, and they email us at ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. We read these real emails from real people and do our best, our darndest, actually, to advise them out of their sticky situations.
It's Rod Stewart, Maggie May.
Oh, Rod Stewart is really good. You know what song does kind of sound, reminds me, that gets me happy like that opening theme song is? That was a bad way to say it, but Someone Like You by Rod Stewart.
How does that one go?
Someone like you makes it hard to live without somebody else. Someone like you.
I just wanted you to embarrass yourself easy. Singing the way I did. there's some other song that's like this. Oh, fuck it. Fuck it.
Songs are good is what we're trying to say.
We like music. Even though we can't sing it or appreciate it, we like old music that we can't remember.
I wonder what percentage of people listening to this podcast are listening to it for the first time. Maybe it's 5%. Maybe it's 10%. But if you are here for the first time, thanks for joining us. We open every episode.
We've never, ever thanked new people.
Why not? We should.
I guess we're starting now.
I just wanted to explain that every episode starts with a new, brand new theme song that is submitted to us by our talented fans. And you can submit those yourself at that same email, ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Boom. Now, this episode will be a little bit different because instead of choosing four questions together, we each chose two, and we're going to read them back and forth. And the other person is going to hear him for the first time. So I chose two questions. Jake chose two questions. And we haven't heard each other's questions yet.
That's right.
Do you want to start or should I start?
I'll start.
Yeah, you never read questions.
I'll start.
Hey now.
I will start.
Hey now, you're an all-start.
Get your game
Get
on.
Get your read on.
Go fart. Go.
Nice.
What's a good... we'll do 90s bands. This is from Smash Mouth.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. These are real emails from real people. We give them fake names to preserve their anonymity. So this person's name is Smash Mouth.
Smash Mouth writes, hi, I've listened to every episode and wished I had problems that equaled those of the people who write in, and I never really did, until recently.
Mm.
I've started talking to two girls. One, an absolute smoke show. 10 out of 10.
Perfect.
But I find just a bit off.
Mm.
Not that she's not nice. There's just something about her personality I don't quite like.
Hmm.
Then there's this other amazing girl.
Jeez.
Probably a 9 out of 10. And I find her personality beautiful. I want to get to know her better and hopefully start dating her. But I just can't get out of my head this opportunity I have with the 10 out of 10.
Huh.
What do I do? Should I fuck the hotter one just to get it out of my system, then get with the 9 out of 10? Any advice would be brilliant. Smash mouth.
Cool. I've never heard a question for the first time on the show before. That was fun. So this guy's choosing between a dime and a nine.
A dime and a nine.
Dime with a terrible personality. Not a terrible, but something's wrong with it.
Something a bit off.
Something a little bit off.
I want to see if you find in this email the same thing that I caught.
Which was, is it the overarching sentiment of this guy can fuck a 10 and a 9?
It's sort of the overarching sentiment of this guy's self-aggrandizing asshole.
That's which
like,
is?
A 10 likes me and a 9 likes me. What yeah. am I going to do? Hook up with the 9? But then I'll never get this 10 out of my head. So even though I don't find her that attractive personality-wise, I would like to fuck her just because I can. And then I'm gonna go out with the 9.
Well, it seems like he brings up an interesting point. Not specifically this scenario, but every time – you always go for, let's say, the most attractive person right off the bat because that's the first thing you see with them physically. Mm-hmm. And then you start taking away points based on their personality. So this girl – I mean, a 10 and a 9 are so similar, it's almost not worth it even trying to figure out the specific problem.
Beauty
here
is in the eye of the beer holder.
Yeah, nice.
Sometimes I have beer goggles on so blurry that I think a 9 is a 10 or a 10 is a 2.
Yeah.
It honestly doesn't even matter. That's why I coined the phrase. And I say coin because I'm talking about dimes, nickels, pennies, and quarters sometimes. As in, I've had a quart of beer and I am so blackout drunk that my beer goggles make me screw a fucking buffalo nickel.
What's a buffalo nickel?
It's a five that looks like a goddamn donkey.
It's a five that resembles a goddamn buffalo.
That's right.
Yeah, I'll fuck a girl who looks like a Buffalo Bills player, actually.
A water buffalo, as I need to butt chug water just so I can sober up to stop myself from hooking up with this goddamn nickel.
This girl who looks like, I swear to God, Thurman Thomas with a wig, that's Jim like Kelly without one.
Jolly old Saint Nick. Nickel. She is fat and bearded, and I'm not sure she's a woman, but I've had enough ales in my body to decide that my goggles are made of beer, and I think I'm going to hook up with her, or him.
I have beer goggles so thick, I'll fuck a bottle of beer. I don't even need a woman. I will have sex with the beer that I drink.
Fuck, I'm coming.
Oh, no.
I fucking premature ejaculated into a Heineken bottle. I put it in her hiney.
I have cum goggles now.
They're way more cloudy.
It makes every girl look like beer. Where were we?
What should he do? Should he hook up with this 10 just to get it out of his system and then move on to a 9?
You know what? Sure. If you can hook up with a 10 and then a 9, do that. Please. You don't have any advice that you need.
It's self-aggrandizing.
You can't hook up
with
a 10 and a 9.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like he just wanted to write this email just to like fucking show his problem to the world.
But let's talk about it in more grand terms. How much, let's say there was a 10 with an awful personality and a girl that you would deem a 5. You know, I feel bad even ranking women at this point.
Well, actually, I would like to submit this. If you actually have feelings for this beautiful 9, then like there's always going to be 10s out there. There's always going to be 10s. There's always going to be 7s. There's going to be 4s knocking down your doors, you know? You just, if you are feeling something for this 9, she's beautiful inside and out, then cut it off and just go and just fuck her.
Yeah. Well, I have a problem. I can't really separate a hot person with a terrible personality is not attractive to me.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't have that
problem. Some people can separate the personality and the physicality.
Yes.
You can.
Yeah, of course.
A hot, terrible person you can still be attracted to.
I could be attracted to an ugly, terrible person. I have been. I've dated them.
What? You dated an ugly, terrible?
Of course.
A UT? I? Of course.
Did you just confess to me that you have a urinary tract infection?
I do need cranberry juice. Is that what that's what girls do when they have UTIs, right?
Yeah, yeah, cranberry juice.
Yeah.
So is it a conscious thing that you can do? Like, oh, this girl's hot but terrible, but let me try to not think about that, or is it just
Well, geez, Louise.
Is it the way your brain is wired?
If a girl is hot but terrible, then I'd like to punish her by fucking her. Stabbing her with my knife dick.
Ah, yeah, yeah. The so,
like,
curse.
In my mind, that, like, your way back at her isn't by, like, ignoring. Like, you, if a girl's hot
for me,
but terrible,
yeah, my way is
you're
like,
all right, I'm not going to talk to you.
Yeah.
A girl's hot but terrible, I'm like, I'm going to fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you like me so much that you fuck me, and then I'm going to leave, and then I'm terrible. I like to out-terrible people. Does that make sense?
So you want to be even more terrible than the terrible girl.
Yeah.
Okay. So why is that?
Maybe
you don't seem insecure.
Maybe I'm afraid. Maybe I am insecure, and maybe I'm just like, oh, if I – you know, like – It's like if I'm afraid of murderers, but then I just become a serial killer. I become the creepiest motherfucker in the world. Then, like, people fear me.
I see. So let's say I have a fear of bees.
You should become a wasp. You become the more terrible creature.
A white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, your name is Richard.
Oh my God, I'm sprouting a fucking sweater vest.
Richard Cooper, nice to meet you.
Hey.
Is that a squash racket, or are you just happy to see me?
You know my wife, Sheila, my two lovely twin daughters.
Sheila and Sheila?
I don't know. I made a terrible mistake.
Shit.
Suddenly I can't differentiate between my wife and daughters. My wife.
The accent wife. Almost made it work. My wife.
You know my wife.
Eat my wife.
Take my wife. Sheil. So did we answer this guy's question? He's a liar.
So. Yeah. Well, I think so. My answer is that, like, you're always going to be tempted by a 10. Just, like, go with your heart right now. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like your advice was just to fuck the if you can fuck a 10, then fuck a 10.
Yeah, I mean,
unless you think it's going to compromise something with the 9.
I mean, if you can, you should. It's your right as a human being to have sex with the most attractive person that you can.
Well, what if she? But, like, what if this 10 likes him and he's like, oh, I just want to fuck her, and then, like, leave her? You're complicating your situation.
Yeah. But you can just sleep with someone without leading them on.
I think as long as you're upfront and honest with both of the girls, then that's good.
Yeah, you say, hey, you are so attractive. I've never been able to get someone as good looking as you to actually be interested in me. I'm not interested in your personality. There's a 9 down the road who has a much better thing going on. However, I would like
to... The door slams in your face.
Oh, hey, what the hell?
All right.
You were a 10. Let me get there. Bitch, sorry, I shouldn't have used that word, but crap, that really freaking hurt.
It kills my heart.
It hurt my soul, actually. All right, let me choose the question that I, or let me read the question that I chose, I should say.
All right.
I might have accidentally deleted it.
That's cool.
That's bad.
That's chill.
That's not fine. Good.
I wish you didn't. I would like to read it.
All right, got it. This one's funny because...
Don't tell me why.
Well, I have to explain a little bit. So it's a series of 3 emails. Let me read the first one first. Give me a 90s band to call this person. It's a dude.
A Sugar Ray.
All right, Sugar Ray writes, hey guys, my friend has a friend who I'm pretty attracted to. The worst/funniest part is that I've never met her. I've seen her on Facebook and Instagram, and I'm sure she's seen me too. The only time I'll probably ever get a chance to meet her is at one of my friend's parties or something, and I don't know if or when he'll invite her. My question is, how should I go about meeting/talking to this smoke show? Should I start following her on Instagram and message her? Should I talk to my friend about it? I don't think I should just hope to meet her one day. I've never really been in this situation, and I don't know the smoothest way to deal with it. Thanks. Toda, great show. And then the next day he wrote a follow-up email to us. P.S. I would totally be down to have sex with her. Then 6 days later, he wrote another follow-up to us. P.P.S. I think I need to have sex with her.
so more and more
desperate and horny.
Yes, I actually ended up masturbating to her, and now more than ever, I need to know what it feels like to have sex with her.
Follow up the fourth. I can't stop thinking that I want slash need to bone this trone. Please.
Uh-oh, part five. I am growing desperate. It turns out I need to have sex with anything or anyone. All my friends' friends are pretty attractive.
Do advise. I'm begging you. So despite the humor of this guy emailing us every 3 days with his growing desperation,
5 days, and he's just like, you know what? I need to have sex with her.
P-P-P-P-P-S, I no longer give a shit, so.
P-P-P-P-P-P-P, you smell like pee-pee.
That was a bluff. I still want slash need it. So has this ever happened to you? You're scooping around somebody else's Facebook, and you're like, wow, my friend's friend is hot.
Yeah, I think I've done that before. I would just add her as a friend and then, like, message her or something.
Really? You would add a person you don't know as a friend?
I think so. I mean, I wouldn't do that now, but, like, when I was in high school or college, which I imagine this guy is, because he is so clueless.
Yeah.
Like, follow her on Instagram, do whatever. I mean, like, it's your friend's friend. The stakes are so low.
You wouldn't go the friend angle?
I guess he is saying, I need to have sex with her. So maybe we should give him advice that's, like, legit gonna. I guess you.
It's, well, this is that idea that we had where you tell people how to message people and then they would pay you to do that because that's your area of expertise. This is a free version of that right now.
I'm
for him.
King at messaging.
Yeah, yeah.
Call me Text King. Okay. I'm always texting, and I actually just texted your thing.
What do you mean?
And she jumped up on my thing.
You texted my thing.
Doesn't that sting?
No,
motherfucker.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Motherfucker.
So
move, motherfucker.
Move, fucker.
That's something that we never say on the podcast. Is that you only say that in the car? I don't think you've ever said it out loud on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Move, fucker.
Whenever I'm driving, Jake and I will often carpool together places, and whenever I drive, I yell, "Move, fucker!"
Oftentimes, when we're moving fine in traffic,
or like we're at a red light where the person in front of me can't move legally, fucker.
Move, fucker.
Out of the way, fucker.
All right, so if you need to have sex with her, then it does matter.
That changes the game
her.
A little bit. Instead of he just wants to,
saying,
he
like,
needs
whatever,
to.
Whatever. Yeah, because I think you should. I think people should, you know, toss a lot of seeds into their fertile garden beds
and just see what,
like,
grows.
Yeah,
see
I'm
what
a, hose I'm an affable,
grows.
Funny guy, and like, let's talk to you, and you, and you, and like, they may be talking to him, and him, and him.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and none of it really matters, especially when we're like talking about Facebook and Instagram and like buying somebody a drink at a bar. That's like low barrier to entry. Dating is easy, simple, harmless, stupid, fun.
Okay.
Okay. Now you want to have sex. That's great. You can do that with whoever you want.
It's an instructional video. So you've decided to have sex. Volume
Here's
two.
So you've decided to have sex with a specific person. Now you're getting invested. Now you can be disappointed.
Okay.
It's a little dangerous.
Uh-huh.
So I think what I would do is just, you want to minimize rejection.
Okay. Meaning?
So messaging her and being like, hi, my name's John, or whatever his name is, Sugar Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to get a drink sometime? Then she says no. You're like, okay, fuck, I'm crushed.
Right.
So you do have to talk to the friend. Don't be a passive weirdo and like follow her on Instagram.
Right.
Talk to the friend. Have a party. Invite her over and go up and talk to her and just be charming. But do not outwardly be like, I'm trying to fuck you.
Right.
Just you let her want to fuck you and then you reciprocate. Always meet her feelings, match her feelings, and then maybe you'll creep a little bit and see what happens. But always be ready to just pull, abandon, like get out. So then she's not like, oh, that guy was desperate. She's just like, oh, that I thought that guy wanted that, but maybe he didn't even mean it. Now he's off talking to somebody else.
Okay. Well, okay. Here's my question.
Okay.
You're
Sugar Ray.
I'm Sugar Ray.
You wrote the three emails.
I'm always trying to visualize thing on a mathematical line. Obviously, that's a problem. That's a good thing to do. But
cheers, buddy.
Humor me.
Cheers,
humor
pal.
me. Hubert, okay. You are at 100. Okay?
I was born at 100.
Enough, dude.
Sorry.
And then on the other side of this spectrum is the girl at negative 100.
Okay.
Those are strangers. You're 200 apart. Meeting in the middle is boning.
Okay.
So you want to go, let's say, to like 90 and then see if she goes to her negative 90 or she has to go to her like negative 85 a little further to zero and then you move a little bit closer to zero. Or do you want to like go to like 50 and see if she goes to like 25 and then you like sort of pull her closer?
It depends. But like I think you start going like 90 to 85.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want her, you don't need her to meet you. You just want her needle to move.
Oh, so like if it registers a little bit, you're like, oh.
If you go at 85 and she goes to 98, uh-huh. then you're like, okay, I'll chill on 85. Still at 85, 85, 85. Uh-huh. And she's creeping up and then you're like, oh, what's up? 85 uh-huh. again. She's like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm at 85. And then you're like 70. She's like,
holy
what was
shit.
That? I'm going back to 90. And you're like, oh, 80, that's fine. 80. And she's like, okay, 85. And then you're like 50. And then she's like, whoa, wait a second. But before she knows it, she's at fucking 65 because you're at 50. And then you're like, baby, I'm going back to 90. What the fuck you doing over there at 60, yo?
You're
and
desperate.
She's like, hey, you brought me here. All right, I'm at 70. And then you're like, oh, you're at 70? Well, motherfucker, I'm at zero.
What?
Your pants are off.
Oh, my God.
You're humping whoever's near you.
Holy shit.
And she says, this guy's a creep, and she walks away.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
See, that was a perfect combination of your sexual expertise and me, my love of numbers.
Yeah.
So we're both good at things. I'm good at counting, and you're good at having sex.
We definitely need you for keeping the audio level on the podcast.
Yeah, I want to make sure we don't peak, and then you talk about how to have sex with people.
Sex is good. I'll tell you how to do it.
That's the tagline to the website that we build where you text for people. Sex is good. I'll tell you how to do it.
Textking.com, the Casanova King and texting. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Ta-da. Oh, it's my turn.
Yeah, let's do one more for you.
Okay. Oh, I was just looking at the lyrics of that song that I thought it was that I couldn't remember before.
Uh-huh.
Amy, what you wanna do? I think I could stay with you for a while, maybe longer.
Okay. Ow.
Yeah, sure.
I don't like that.
But you know that song?
What? Yeah, I know it. Who sings it? Leonard Skinnerd?
Shit, I just exited.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
You did all the bad part without any of the actual learning.
That's my life, dude.
All right. Wait, why be a text king when you could be a text god?
Wow.
Think about that.
Really, really. Fuck, you're right.
That being said, text king and text god are both taken.
All right.
So if we build this site, we'll have to think of a new name.
That's right.
But all
who
right.
is the king? Who is the god?
Oh, I'm the judge, the jury, and the executioner.
All right. This comes from...
Weezer.
Weezer writes, Dear Jake and Amir, I am in quite the conundrum. All of my friends are very good friends with my mother. They all think that she's funny and great and fun. When she's around them, she's really nice and cool. When they're not around, however, she's a rude... she's a rude... Sorry. When they're not around, however, she's a rude... I love this question. She's a rude bitch to me all the time. Since she's friends with all my friends, she knows a lot about me just from stories, and she gives me shit about things I did in the past that I'm not proud of all the time. And she uses these stories to berate and hurt me. It's a fucking fascist regime. Don't get me wrong, though. I want to have a good relationship with my mother. It's just hard with her using her position with my friends in order to hurt me.
Yeah.
How can I either fix my relationship with my mom or get all my friends to hate her? Thanks, Weezer.
It's so funny to imagine, like, this mom sitting around with these kids' friends. They're all playing poker. Like, this kid's just, like, nervously shifting in his seat while all of his friends, like, laugh. Like, oh, Mrs. W, you're the funniest. Like, all right, we're going to go. And she's like, bye, guys. She slams the door, turns around, looks at her son. He's like, now you're fucked. Now you're really fucked.
I just learned stories.
Get ready to see this rude bitch.
This is a fascist regime. You're a fascist, yeah. And this is a regime.
I've been regimed.
I'm stuck in a regime for this.
Oh my God, that's so funny. What an amazing mother.
She's a rude bitch to me all the time.
That's why your friends like her so much.
Well, my initial reaction was that, like, maybe your mom's not a rude bitch to you all the time, and you just are, like, going into this with a negative attitude.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where, like, your parents go to school and they're like, all right, oh, I left some whatever by your, I'll give you your lunch, you left a book at home, and then everyone thinks it's fine, and then you're like, Jesus, Mom, leave me alone, you're such a rude bitch to me!
Why'd you give me lunch, you fascist?
You don't have to freaking talk to me at school. Oh, you're the ugliest, weirdest mom, and everyone makes fun of me now for it.
Yeah, but like I don't really relate to this because I always had the best mom ever. I love my mom.
Yeah.
Mom, if you're listening, and I know you are because you support the fucking shit out of me, I love you. You're the best. Uh-huh. You are a queen, princess, god, devil-worshipping bitch, and I love it. You are a beast.
What
You're
do you
a
mean?
Motherfucking beast.
There was one thing you said that sounded
devil worshipping
yeah,
bitch.
Yeah.
I, that honestly, it snuck in because I was just trying to come up with as many adjectives as I could. And one time I caught my mom praying to Satan. And I love you, mommy. You're the best. You're the best.
That being said, at one point I did go into your room, see you drawing black paint on the wall, your eyes rolled back way to the back of your head, I could see your optic nerve creeping out from under your eyelids, swearing, yelling, sweating in Latin.
My mama performed an exorcism on me when I was three.
It didn't give.
It didn't give. You raised a little devil, didn't you, mommy? You raised a little devil.
And now it's my purpose, my lot in life to spread that curse.
I am a negative cancer on society. I'm bad to people. And you raised me and supported me and you let me exist in this world. So even though you're a brilliant, beautiful, amazing woman, you worship the devil because the devil is me.
Wow.
Holy shit.
That was so real. We often joke about things becoming real, but that got, we finally arrived.
I feel empty.
Reelsville, USA.
That was, whoo-wee.
So can we actually give this kid advice? What is there to do other than talk to his mother about, or keep your friends away from your mom? It's not hard. You just don't invite your friends over.
Yeah, go to their house.
Yeah, go to their house. That way you keep your friends away from your mom, the mom away from the stories, and it keeps your mom from being such a real bee.
Also, just try to come at this from a place of appreciation for your mom, because I bet a lot of your other friends don't have, like, awesome parents like you that get along with them. So just, like, embrace it. Treat your mom like you would one of your buddies, and it's kind of cool. You might have, like, a nice, casual, fun relationship with your mom, like I have with my mom. I love you, Mom. You're the best mom in the whole world. Mwah.
All right.
That's it. I love my mom.
I've already kissed her goodbye. The question is over.
I love her.
I think it's time for a break.
A break.
We need to take a little respite.
Yes. Yes.
We have live shows coming up, but you know we always talk about that. I thought it would be fun to read this email that we got. After the Dave Rosenberg episode aired.
Oh.
Dave was such a hit, such a hero, such a cool on our show that emails to our account started flooding in. And this one is probably the best one we've ever gotten. Oh. And I thought it'd be fun to read it.
Pray tell.
It's called Dave Rosenberg's Story.
It's so enticing.
Hey guys, I just listened to the Howdy episode with Dave Rosenberg, and I thought I'd tell you a quick story about him that I think illustrates one instance of his game pretty well. Basically, after your show in Philly, my friend and I ran into Amir and Dave on the street, although both of you guys and Streeter had a cold. Dave wanted to come meet us out at a bar. After hanging at our favorite outdoor patio bar with Dave for a bit, learning more about my favorite website, College Humor, Dave and I went inside to look for some girls. Approaching girls at a bar is one of my least favorite things to do, so I was glad Dave took the lead. And this is what he did. First off, he took off his hat, so all the chicks could admire his flow. Secondly, as we were on the side of the bar scoping the scene, he catches the eye of a girl by the bar who is doing some dancing. No words necessary, he kind of imitates her moves in a funny way, and next thing I know, the two are grinding up on each other, tongues down throat. At this point, I'm pumped Dave is getting it on, but I don't want to just stand there awkwardly while he dances with some girl. However, as I start walking away, Dave waves me back over, and we talk to this girl and her friends for a bit. As the bar starts to close, 10 minutes later, I get one of the girl's numbers and end my night to head home. I think Dave took the dancing girl back to his hotel, but I'm really curious how that story ended up. Did he lick the full trail to her belly button? As for me, I ended up having a steady hookup for the next few months with the hottest girl I've ever been with, all thanks to Dave.
Hero. Illuminati. Illuminati.
He did. He won the game, if there is such a thing as the game. He came over, danced with a girl without speaking to her, made out with her.
And just as the kid is like, oh man, I'll never be as cool as Dave. He like goes to walk away.
And Dave's like, no, you know what? Tonight's about bros too.
Calls
you come back. We hang out with her friends. And this guy ends up hooking up with her friends for several months to come. Dave
By the
goes
way, this guy was wearing a Seize the Cheese t-shirt.
Yeah, but he was fucking jacked.
So, but I mean, like, I think ripped. That's maybe one of the first people to like get a girl's number while in a Seize the Cheese shirt.
A Seize the Tease. Yes. So that's a great Dave Rosenberg story.
That's amazing. Also, we can verify that he fucked that girl in his hotel and then woke up at 8:30 a.m. and got a cheesesteak. So
Dave ate so poorly on that tour.
I never saw him in the morning without either a cheesesteak or a McDonald's cheeseburger. This is always before 10 a.m.
Yeah.
He's eating a Big Mac.
He went off menu. A lot of this stuff isn't even offered yet, but he's so tall and handsome that he got it done. I'm really excited to go. We're going back on tour with Dave at the end of April 26th, 7th, and 8th, I think. Or is it 24th, 5th, and 6th?
24th, 5th, and 7th. Because we're taking Saturday off.
I'm bad at this.
Yeah.
But we're going to be in Seattle, Portland, and then San Francisco. And we're going to be with Dave. So come to the shows.
If
we're gonna,
not for us, then for him. For real, for real.
If you don't know where the shows are yet, I'm sure you'll be inundated with information all over our website as soon as we get it. But I don't know if anything has been officially announced or released or anything like that.
I don't know either.
So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for more great Dave Rosenberg stories. We should also record a podcast maybe like once or twice with Dave on the road.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Where more stories will be had. Do you want to read – or? Let me read my last question.
All right.
It's actually oddly in the same vein as your last question.
Interesting.
So it kind of worked out that way. I need a
Third Eye Blind.
Third Eye Blind writes, my mom is really embarrassing on Facebook. Every time I post something, she comments at least once, and it's either a dumb joke or her overpraising me and tagging my aunts and uncles, which caused them to come and leave equally embarrassing comments. Yesterday, I posted a video of me solving a Rubik's Cube, and after my mom left 3-paragraph-long comments, and later one of my school friends made fun of her, so I had to take it down before she could see it and get her feelings hurt. She's sensitive about that kind of thing. How can I ask her to cool it on Facebook without hurting her feelings? I still live with her and will until August. Thanks, guys. Sorry if this sounds like a douchey teenager that irrationally hates his mom.
Which the first one did. Mm-hmm. But this guy sounds like a little bit
more legit.
I feel like the solution, though, is to just not post on Facebook.
Yeah, but that's hard to do if you want to post a video. Where is he supposed to put his video of his Rubik's Cube?
You just don't.
Can you disable comments? I don't think so.
You can delete comments. You could delete your mom's comment.
Yeah, but that's basically going behind her back and deleting comments.
Could you unfriend her?
Oh, that would also hurt her feelings.
Right.
You know what you can do is blame it on your friends. Be like, mom, my friends are like being such assholes. Every time you comment something amazing and cool.
But
like
that's like, but then she'll hate... Then she'll hate the friends. Be like, oh, you're right. They suck. It's just me and you.
We're
never
best
have them
friends
over.
Forever. But isn't it better for her to hate the friends than for her to hate her own son?
I feel like you just got to be upfront. Just be like, Mom, I love you. I love that you comment and you're so supportive. But like, you need to just like tone it back a little bit. Just a little bit.
Leave one paragraph long comment.
Yeah, that's all you need to
do. Not multiple paragraphs.
Right.
This happens to a lot of people I know where like the mom just, not necessarily paragraph long, but like they'll like every single thing.
Yeah.
Comment on every single thing. And I don't think it's as embarrassing. I think it's like, it's not actually embarrassing.
I think if I went to somebody's profile and like there was three comments from their mom, I would make fun of them.
Right. But is it actually embarrassing, or are you just like having fun?
It's actually embarrassing.
You think it's embarrassing for the kid should be ashamed of himself?
I don't think the kid should be ashamed of himself, but I think it's like, I do find it hilarious.
Right, yeah, it's
so
funny.
So nobody wants to be the butt of jokes. If I'm like, oh, your mom commented 5 times on your Facebook status, you'd be like, shut up.
Yeah, well,
so
what
I think
you
have
do?
To just be like, Mom, like one comment max. That's
oh,
it.
Oh, a good
or
rule.
Just, or just like it, or message me about it.
Tough
just,
love.
Yeah, you just gotta be upfront. It will hurt your feelings, but like ultimately you guys will have a better relationship because you will resent each other.
Yeah. That's nice advice.
Or like you do what I do, and I just troll my mom's Facebook wall. I comment on her wall all the time. She gets annoyed by me on Facebook.
Yeah, you like would post, like you just write a message on her wall out of the blue being like, hey, who do you love the most, me or Micah? Who's your favorite son?
Yeah, that's
and
what
then
I
you'll
mean.
Reply to that comment and be like, hey, still no word from mommy about this issue. I'm starting to think it's Micah.
Yeah.
And then you'll reply to that comment.
And then I tag my sisters in it. And I'm
yeah.
Like, can you guys believe this?
Are you believing what you're not reading?
Yeah.
That's funny. Troll her wall in response. See how she likes it.
Perfect.
Take that, Mom.
Forget you.
Mother. All right. That was a very special mom-themed episode towards the end there. Episode 69, perfect for Mother's Day. So, the end?
The end. Ta-da.
Thank you guys for listening to this show. We are here every single Monday, literally every single Monday. You can listen to more shows at ifiwereyoushow.com. You can submit your own questions at ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. And you can also submit theme songs to that same email address. That first one was from Sheridan Wojka, the SheridanWojkas.com. And this last one is from a guy named Hampus. I believe he's Swedish, and I believe he has a band too called The Ticket People. The Ticket People. So, yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you in a week. Well, not really see. You'll sort of just hear us in a week.
Right.
But still.
But we'll see you.
Yeah. In a week. All right, and to start the song.
I'm sitting here in this boring room. It's just another rainy Monday afternoon. I'm wasting my time, I got nothing to do. I'm hanging around waiting for If I Were You. And then it finally happens, and I wonder, if I were you, if I were you. Everybody always rhymes you with two, but all that I can do is listen to If I Were You. And if I ever want to stop feeling blue, I'll send my questions into If I Were You.